Welcome to Hands at the Table. I'm your co-host, Jeff Bramhall. Alongside fellow massage therapist, Boris Aranyi, this podcast shows massage therapists how powerful our profession can be. We believe that as a craft and as a profession, massage therapy is only limited by a therapist's imagination and willingness to put in the work. By sharing what we're learning, what we're working on, and what's captured our interest, we hope to broaden your perspective, inspire you to set your standard high, and invest in your craft. Thank you for joining us.
Welcome back to Hands at the Table with Jeff and Bori. And today we're going to talk about Jeff's experience at his first hands-on fascial dissection cadaver class with, of course, with Tom Myers and Tom Garcia. So let's talk about that because I'm really curious about how did that go and I was really excited about how was Tom Myers in person, of course, but also the cadaver and how was it set up and just the practical side of it, but what did it give you too? So just tell us a little bit about what was the setup and how did it work?
Yeah. So this was the class I took in January. And we went, it was out, Todd Garcia hosted it at his lab, which is called the Lab of Anatomical Enlightenment in Boulder, Colorado.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was also my first in-person class since 2020. So it was a mm-hmm. big, this the class was back in January. It was a big, there was a whole lot of feelings, a whole lot of stuff going on. It was also right at the Omicron surge too. So it was interestingly timed, let's say that. So the nuts and bolts of the class there were about 40 practitioners there. There in the dissection lab, there were six tables. So we kind of self-selected into groups of six or seven. Each group had our own cadaver to work with, each worked with our own donor. And there was every table had a member of Tom's staff that was guiding. That was functioning as a facilitator or in that sense. The idea was that we would look at over the course of 5 days, we would dissect our cadavers. And as we worked our way down, we would have the focus be each of the lines from each of the fascial lines from anatomy. Mm. So day one, we looked at the superficial front line and day two or three that we looked at the superficial back line and all the way on towards into day five, where we were, actually we eviscerated the cadavers and like looked at the deep front line and we looked at the and then ultimately all the way down to the skeletal system. It was as close to a religious experience as I think I could have, in that it wasn't in the sense that it really gave me perspective as to the scale of myself. And it gave me perspective in terms of, it gave me perspective in that, like, we are, as a society, are very separated from death. And there was a moment kind of nerves carried me into the beginning of the first day, but then in the early afternoon of the first day, I was the only person working on our cadaver. I think it was the very end of one of the dissection segments, and I was the last person at our table, and I just found myself having a conversation talking with our donor, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. realizing that and realizing that it felt like I was just talking to a person, and this person just happened to not be alive. And it was a very interesting experience for me, in that it was such an immediate feeling of perspective. It was akin to the feeling that you get when you land in a, like, you know, I live in a very densely populated, like pretty heavily treed area. Like there's like our horizons tend to be very short. And if I go to, like, I can think very clearly of a time that I flew out to Phoenix, got into Phoenix at night, drove to the place I was staying, which was out on the outskirts, woke up in the morning, opened the front door and looked out and just saw for miles. And it was that immediate perspective shift. That was the sort of thing that I experienced when working with the cadavers. So that was the spiritual feeling of it. There were two other things that I want to bring up at the outset. One was realizing just how general and how non-specific our anatomy textbooks are. Realizing that every textbook is a picture of the average, and that no human being actually is average. You know, we had the cadaver that I was working with was a female cadaver, and you know how like 10% of people have the pyramidus muscle, the like triangular muscle that comes up from the pubic symphysis. Yep. Like, yep. Our cadaver had one of those. Our cadaver also had a psoas major and a psoas minor. There were there were donors in our space that had in our class that had scalenes attaching slightly different places than what we would normally see. It was so enlightening to see the variety of the way that people actually exist under the skin, and just how much it reflects how different people look at the skin level, right? It shouldn't be surprising to like take the skin off someone. And it's like, oh, you also look different here. Having it put in like very stark relief in front of me was really, really exciting and really interesting. So that's one of the things that I came away just really floored by. And the other one, and this is the story of getting started on the first day. Tom's great. Like, he's Tom Myers. He's made incalculable contributions to our industry, to the way that our industry interacts with other adjacent industries. He's great. He's a very good teacher when he's talking about anything. I actually really enjoyed listening to him. I enjoyed quite a lot listening to him lecture. All that said, I have never had a teacher as I've never seen a teacher do something as amazing as what Todd did on the first day. So yeah, 40 people, most of whom don't know each other, walk into a room, sit or like, you know, hang around, get like chat with one another. That's 9 o'clock that we're doing the check-ins. By 11 o'clock, by 11 o'clock, we're actually dissecting. And that includes breaking us up into groups, creating that kind of sacred space and then actually like taking our cadavers, like opening the plastic that they were in, putting them onto the table. Yeah. handling bodies within an hour and a half. And he was clearly incredibly well. He's incredibly well practiced. He runs dissections both for his own group as well as partners with a lot of other continuing education organizations. So he has lots of reps, and he also just was able to gather us all around as we walked silently into the mm-hmm. dissection lab, and he just walked through the whole place. Everyone kind of filtered their way into the tables that they wanted to work on, or like they'd see something about a cadaver that one of the cadavers is like, oh, this is actually who I want to spend time with, this donor. And there was no quibbling or anything like that. Everyone just broke up into the spaces that they wanted to be in, and it was amazing. It was really amazing. And we were able to maintain that same sacredness, that same like lack of profanity through the whole week. It was a genuine masterstroke of teaching, and also I think speaks to the it certainly speaks to the practitioners in the room with me. But mm-hmm. Seeing that as a possibility, as a pedagogical possibility, I was like, holy crap, this is amazing. So that was probably that. Those are the two things that I just like really like stuck with me, like stuck in my gut coming out of that.
Mm. Did they have some kind of like ritual? Or something like specific to create this sacred space, or did they say anything? Or
Todd initially asked us to just walk around. It's like I'll walk through the room in silence.
Oh, wow.
And then we all just to walk through. Mm-hmm. And this was for two purposes that he described it for two purposes. First was, this is probably for many of you, this is the first time that you've seen a non-living human in person.
Right.
So we need to expose you to it, but I don't want to over mm-hmm. and I don't want to overwhelm you with it. So that initial walkthrough was just for the purpose of walking through and seeing and just seeing with silence. And then we came back out to the the classroom area, mm-hmm. had a moment to just chat, to talk through what we saw, like what we saw, what mm-hmm. we felt, all that stuff in there. And then as we went back in, we circled up essentially throughout the whole room, and then each of us spent and then as a group we just kind of had a moment of silence in there as we split up mm-hmm. into our tables. And then once we broke out into our groups, we were at our tables, we had introduced ourselves to everyone that we were working with. Before we actually started work, the table lead also kind of led us through just a moment of like silent reflection. Mm. And Mel, who's she's the COO of the Anatomy Trains organization's COO. She was the one who was leading our table, and she did an incredible job of mixing. She has a great sense of humor, and she also has a great like emotional sense as well to mm-hmm, kind of mm-hmm. see somebody kind of struggling and would just kind of come over and just be like, yeah, it's cool. Like, take a minute, like go for a walk, yeah. Like go for a walk, take a break. Yeah. Like, what are you feeling? How are you doing? Like that emotional acuity, I think was reflected in all of the tables, but it was certainly very strong, both from Todd and from Mel. And that was, mm-hmm. that was huge, important. Mm-hmm. A couple other things that they did that we did is everyone named their donor. Mm-hmm. Again, it was Todd brought a lot of humanity into the mm-hmm. room. Todd mm-hmm. said it. Todd and Tom, as the head, as the lead instructors, made it a priority to bring humanity into the room, and that really paid off. Making that a necessary part of the experience was really impactful, and it makes me think about, like, there were a lot of physical therapists that were there, and when PTs do cadaver labs in school, the bodies that they're working on often are depersonalized. So they'll have their heads shaved, their eyes covered. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they will cover the, if they're not working on a hand, you'll cover the hand or the feet because those are very, because those are the things that feel very human. An arm is kind of innocuous, but like fingers are very real. So a lot of times in collegiate labs, they'll be very, very depersonalized so that you're, which I think also makes sense in that circumstance. Like you're specifically looking at that person. You don't need the goal of that situation isn't necessarily to honor the person that you're doing, that you're working with. The goal of ours kind of was, and we were going to spend a bunch of time with this person. We were going to be doing a lot of work on them over the course of the week. So it made sense that we did it. It makes sense to approach it differently. Yeah. But I think for the physical therapists in the room, I think it was very helpful for them because this wasn't their first exposure, but it was a very different exposure to have that, to bring the humanity into their experience as well.
Wow. That must have been like a beautiful experience, because it is a hard one. It is hard when you have, and if you haven't done cadaver labs or haven't seen anything like that and haven't worked on a body before, like as in that deep, then it's it can be very disturbing. And definitely, like, you know, these people, you know, you're basically taking that body apart, and you know, it's you can only be grateful for them to offer this, because otherwise there would be no way you could be doing this. That would, it is so helpful, but it can be definitely disturbing. Especially, if you have a personalized experience, or if you have something like that, then it can be hard. And I assume like scientifically, like all the, like you guys were going, you said like you're going through the layers, like the fascial lines, the Tellmeyer. So like, is it like imagining like a whole body, you're going through like from superficial whole body, then go one layer deep, then go one layer deep, kind of?
That was the outline. What we found was that we would end up doing, everybody ended up working on projects. What was great was that there's a bunch of different examples through the room. So we weren't necessarily thinking about, okay, how do I separate out the superficial front line, peel that essentially, like, how do I peel that off? We didn't do it. Right. It wasn't like that. But that was the guide, like, okay, so we're looking at, like, you know, maybe we're looking at like rectus, and we're looking at rectus and quads, and we're looking down, like down the leg, down the front of the foot. Then we'll flip the person over, and then we'll start to work. And then we'll work along the neck, the erectors, the hamstrings. It was organized essentially how the book is, but it wasn't strictly working on the, like, strictly right. working to, it wasn't us trying to replicate what's in that book, which I thought was fantastic. I actually thought that was like a really great masterstroke. Because in my group, in our class, we had two people that were very focused on, one of whom was a trans man, one of whom was a sexual health therapist. And so they were very focused on, on like female reproductive organ. And Rock, one of the people in my group, Rock did apparently, like, according to Todd, the most perfect dissection of female genitalia and reproductive organs that he's ever seen.
Wow.
And it was like, it was amazing. It was like absolutely, like absolutely amazing. So that was like, so you have like people working on, like, you know, you have Rock working on that project, and then I was really focused on, I'm big foot ankle guy, right? You know, that's what I do. And so dissecting from, you know, I had our donor, with our donor, my main job was from the knee to the foot. And being able to separating the way through that, and actually seeing the way that like the foot and the ankle interact, the way that the seeing the retinacula, the fascial straps, like actually once you peel back the skin layer, the strap, if you leave it for just a couple of minutes, the retinacula become like change color and texture so much, because they're so, I mean, it's all water and it just starts to evaporate really quickly. And as soon as they dry out, you see the way that the retinacula straps around the tib fib and like allows that kind of keystone, that like kind of keystone movement that we call, that we call dorsiflexion. Like it was, that was mind boggling for me. And to see how the body, like, you know, like to see how the bones of the top of the foot, like those, like, you know, where you go like one bone, two bone, three bones, like seeing how they're like faceted so that they just barely interlock just the tiniest amount. It was incredible. It was really amazing. And seeing how like how freaking thick the fat pad is on someone's heel, or how like I had a brand new scalpel, and when I was trying to peel back the plantar fascia, and I burned through that blade. Because the plantar fascia is so strong.
So,
it was amazing. Gosh, yes. That was incredible. And at the end of the day, like seeing visually seeing the relationship between a diaphragm and a pelvic floor, seeing how a diaphragm and a psoas interact with one another, seeing how a psoas interacts with the pelvic floor, like those things were amazing. And then at the end, like on the last day, I actually held a brain in my hand. Like it was unbelievable. and one thing that was also really, really interesting, it was seeing how bodies interacted with surgeries. And so because Todd gets, Todd's donor cadavers come from the University of Utah health system. So the only information that we have from them is that the people who donated their bodies were residents of the state of Utah. That's all we know. Okay. So we don't get any health history or anything like that with
them.
What we do get is their bodies. So we're able to see some of the pathology that person dealt with. Like our cadaver had cancer. And the only reason we knew that is because we actually found tumor. So, you know, there's these little, like these granules that are in, like throughout the intestines that were like, that were cancerous. And like the texture of them, they're almost like grains of rice compared to like, it's like a grain of rice cut in half, but that same texture. And they were bright, bright, bright white, just a completely different color. So we see this, and then, our cadaver had like a head injury at some point. So like you can actually see the like damage to the damage on the back of the skull. And then when we peeled the skull, when we opened the skull up and we saw it, like we actually see the damage on the brain. So we can see these like pathologies that exist in someone. And then, you know, we had people who had shoulder replacements, we had hip replacements, we had knee replacements, like, we had two people that had prosthetic penises, which was a surprise.
That's a pretty high
Yeah, 2 out of 6. You think number. Yeah, 33% yeah. is a lot. Yeah.
What's happening in Utah? Oh my God. Okay.
Two thirds of our males had prosthetic penises because we had three. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if you blow that up to the United States society, then.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Look to your left, look to your right, look to your left, look to your right. If there are two men on either side, one of them, possibly both of them, have a prosthetic penis.
Well, if you don't have one, then two of them.
Yeah. I think we may have had a skewed sample.
Yes.
But this is one of the things that Todd said. It's like, you know, every class kind of comes into its theme, and our theme is sexual, is reproductive.
Okay. Yeah.
And okay. It's just like, yeah, I guess so. But it was all that stuff was just, it was amazing to see how someone's body orients itself around a piece of metal.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and you know, these folks for the most part were very old, so they'd probably had these for a long time. So you can, and they were probably done a long time before. The cadaver that I worked with had a double mastectomy and implants put in, and seeing the way that the body acclimated to the implants was crazy to me. She had implants put in over the pec. It was pretty old school, so probably about 30 years ago. Because of the way that they did this, because of the way they reconstructed her breasts and the actual type of implant that was used.
Uh-huh.
But you see the way that the fascia that held against the rib cage that created the bottom border, and then the fascia that grew over the implant was. Seeing that and feeling the texture of that was unbelievable. That fascia did not feel human. It was so dense. It was so dense, so thick, and it was clear. It was just a very, very, very intense experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I remember, like, from Cadaver Labs too, is like, it's nothing like it's in the books. It's the books are on, like, not real at all. And you can never see those joints or anything like 3D like that. Even in books, like, you can't see, and like in a cadaver lab, you can see the relationships between things.
Yeah.
And in books, like, you know, it's like one muscle here and, you know, with the light pencil, there's the intestines or the stomach or viscera or something, and it's absolutely not the same like how it actually looks in a human being. It's mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. One thing that was great about the type of therapists that came to that class was that we would all pause together and move the body. So you pause and, you know, put an ankle into door, like move an ankle towards dorsiflexion, and then you start to, and then you see how that affects the line, all the way up. So having both the common language, the common anatomical language, as well as the common fascial lens, allowed us to really come together and see things as a group. And you know, the other thing that really like rocked my world was how supportive everyone was of everyone else. Like everybody was so like, you see somebody reflect a muscle back, and they do a good job of reflecting back a muscle, and everyone was like, oh my God, you did such a good job with that. That's so cool. Like, holy shit. And like everyone was just saying like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit the whole time. It was amazing. Yeah, because everyone's mind was blown because it was an unbelievable experience.
Right. Mm. It is a beautiful experience and such a learning experience too. I'm so happy you could go and you experienced it. Oh my God, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was great.
Is there going to be any continuation or?
I would love to do the same. I would love to do this again. Mm-hmm. I think it would be, Todd actively opened the door to come back. He's like, mm-hmm. you know, we were chatting at the end of the last day, a few of us, and he was like, and he was very clear. He's just like, yeah, I would love to have you all back. You came into this with the attitude that I want to cultivate mm-hmm. in this room. So, absolutely. You know, I think at some point I would like to do a lab with Todd and someone else, or a lab that Todd led. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of live stream dissections, and he's an artist. He's a really incredible, mm-hmm. he's incredible at what he does. So I think there will be a continuation. I don't know what it'll be and I don't know when, but there will be, there's a future of it for sure.
Yeah, I think you can always look at some new stuff. Like you just keep mulling things in your head, like, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, now I really want to see a jaw. Now I really want to see something. And like, can I just go now? Like, I want to see this now. Like,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. Anything else you want to share about this experience?
No. It was just a
just do
really,
it.
It's just a it was just a really phenomenal experience mm-hmm. hosted by two incredibly thoughtful, mm-hmm. incredibly generous people who did a mm-hmm. genuinely fantastic job of making something that could be really daunting into something that was both sacred and joyful and educational.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. I think that's a good last sentence there. So thank you all for listening. And again, if you guys have any questions, you can reach us at our email and share our podcast with other practitioners that you know, and it would be interesting for them, and especially these like educational ones. I think it's really awesome to hear about classes and how beneficial and what type and who do you recommend it to and what kind of experience it gives, because we never know before going into it. So definitely this one definitely, you know, again, piqued my interest. I love those. So like, I would love next time you go, let me know, let me know. But yeah, definitely like these ones are so awesome to hear when it's a great class like that. And it has the purpose and it has the space and it holds the therapist too, not just teaches them and lets them go. It's kind of like a holding experience. So that is beautiful. So thank you so much, Jeff, for sharing. And see you guys next time.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode of Hands at the Table. If you got something out of this episode, have comments or topics you'd like us to cover, please let us know by tagging us on Instagram. Bori is at restore_revive_therapy, and Jeff is at Just Breathe Manual Therapy. We'd also appreciate if you can take a minute to leave us a rating, like, or review wherever you listen. It'll help other people find us. We'll see you next week.